Have you or someone you love ever been in a tornado or car accident? Experienced sexual or physical abuse? Served in a war zone? Most people have been through some kind of life-threatening or traumatic event, and it's common to have stress-related reactions after a trauma.
One of the major attack points happened probably 200 yards from where I sleep, and waking up at 4 in the morning to the sound of an AK-47 firing is very awakening, I guess you could say.
I got off the bus from my second deployment, saw my wife from about 75 yards away. We looked at each other, did a head nod, put our eyes down, and slowly started walking towards each other. We knew something was different. It wasn't the run up to each other and jump on each other and hug each other. It was, oh crap, something's different. You could tell in the eyes.
One of my big triggers is driving. I don't have very many triggers with my post-traumatic stress, except for when I'm in the car. And it was about 3 months ago, I was driving, and so in Seattle we have these stoplights when you're ready to get onto the freeway. During rush hour, they kind of try to regulate the flow on there. And so I was sitting at the stoplight. It was my turn to go, and this lady cut me off. And I kind of blew up, and I kind of postured my car to cut her off, and she wouldn't kind of yield to that control. And I got angry, and I rolled my window down. And just as I was about to kind of, start yelling things out, I realized, Tim, this is exactly what you don't need to be doing right now. You need to de-escalate this situation. You need to take a breath.
If your life is heading down this, he listed, you're about to get divorced, your finances are in trouble, are you drinking too much? He listed all these things on the board, and just sitting there, I identified with everything on the board. My husband had just filed for divorce, so, I could check that one. I was having a hard time getting along with people at work. Couldn't count more than maybe two friends. Pretty much alienated myself from everyone.
I watched a young soldier take his seat on the plane, and the guy by the window said, "Son, what's your name?" He said, "Hi, I'm Jimmy, just back from overseas. When these boots touch down in Texas, I'm gonna drop to my knees, 'cause I ain't seen my wife in 18 months and 14 days." The man smiled at him and said, "Well, let me be the first to say, welcome home, welcome home. It's good to have you back where you belong. You fought hard for this land you love, and I thank you for all of us. We're proud to call you one of our own. Welcome home."
Welcome to the Operation High Ground podcast. In these podcasts, you'll hear helpful information focused on the reintegration of our heroes returning home from active duty. Here now is Executive Director Rick Norling.
I want to personally thank you, those of you who have listened to the different podcasts that we've done before. Today, I want to talk a little bit with Larry Kutzler, the producer of the show. As we speak of some of the issues come about in post-traumatic stress, too often we're hearing it over and over and over. And when people are trying to bring awareness to this project or this problem that so many are afflicted with, we have to go past awareness, and now is the action time when we have to take action steps to go into this. Passing the Baton has seen incredible response, and the important part of the series is to be able to literally pass a baton, take up the baton from the military chaplains and bring it to the churches and bring it to the civic groups with an understanding of how to deal with the next step of reintegration. Larry, have you got any insight to that?
Well, I think that our guest today is going to give us great insight. Anthony is a counselor. He does a lot of counseling with a lot of anxiety, phobias, PTSD, all kinds of things. But we'll tell you a little bit more about him in a second. One of the things I think Anthony will talk about, which is very, very important, is the fact that what is PTSD? As you said, Rick, don't you think that everything is thrown under the label PTSD? And I think Anthony qualifies that.
Absolutely. In fact, there's so many people that have used it. I've heard from different statements where I had one person struggled with post-traumatic stress. We've had a number of issues where people have overused or underused or improperly labeled themselves as struggling with post-traumatic stress. Everybody to some degree has some level of trauma in their lives that they can relate to. I had one person tell me that a breakup with a girlfriend caused a post-traumatic stress, and he struggled with post-traumatic stress disorder. Obviously, that's a much different situation, as we'll talk about later, and we'll have Anthony discuss this with us. But there are different issues, and again, we have to be very careful not to overuse the term, or at least we should properly understand what it is and what it is not.
Well, I think Anthony does that, and I had a counselor here in the neighborhood who told me one time that a lot of the inner city kids who he counsels through the public school system actually have PTSD, and he described a lot of the symptoms. But I think Anthony would take issue with that.
Anthony is very skilled in what he does. In fact, he's able to talk with people and help them not to become labeled with these issues. Today's guest is Anthony Verderami. Anthony is the owner of Whole Life Counseling and Coaching. And as a human potential specialist, he is an author, speaker, and expert on the mind. The book is entitled HD Mindset, Unlocking Your Potential Through Clarity. He is, quote, the head coach working with individuals, groups, and as a public speaker. His mission is to help people to wake up from the trance of their beliefs in order to live a life of thriving authenticity. His passion is to help people fully express life. His goal is to help you realize that you are not striving to be a better you. You are striving to be better at being you. He has an MA in counseling psychology from the Adler Graduate School and a BA in religion and theater speech from Grand Canyon University. He has further training in neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, and the Enneagram, which is a dynamic tool for self-discovery. At the end of this podcast, we'll give you Anthony's contact information. Anthony, some of the people that we've been running into lately with Operation High Ground is, we've seen people all over the country talking to different people, and they're trying to bring constant awareness to post-traumatic stress disorder, or the acronym that everybody is so familiar with, PTSD. We see this over and over and over again, that people are figuring that we need to make an awareness, make people aware of post-traumatic stress. Well, I think that people have heard about it so many times that it's becoming a watered-down phrase. And we really need to step past the point of awareness and now start to do something on the action level.
It's almost like they've trivialized something that's is such a tragic way to live, and the way that they don't have to live. So I totally agree with you. Everything now has become PTSD. Oh, I slept bad last night, or fireworks went off, and now I have PTSD. I'm like, really?
Well, as a not-so-common therapist, what would be your description of post-traumatic stress disorder?
It's exactly what the acronym says. So they were traumatized, and the way the mind works basically is, if you think of files in a computer, for example, I always explain it like a file folder, for example. And so I don't believe God intended a human being to deal with that degree of sudden trauma consciously. So it automatically, like instantly, gets filed away in the unconscious mind, but it's filed away with an emotion, a feeling. And it's that feeling that's triggered. But inside that feeling, the folder, if you want to picture that, is a set of beliefs. Now, the problem with true PTSD is that they're either literally living it, so they're having a positive hallucination is what I would call it. So I see you as the enemy and so forth, and I'm literally seeing you as an enemy. That's an extreme version of PTSD, for example, where they're having a positive hallucination. Others, it's working on automation. So a feeling is triggered, and then you could tell somebody's having, quote, an episode. Their hands get all sweaty. Their eyes dilate or constrict. There's a change in their tone of their skin, everything. So PTSD is nothing more than a trance state.
Trance?
Yeah.
I've not heard that before.
Well, you can't have learning without trance. Trance is just a natural God-given human phenomenon. It happens automatically. So in a hyper state of trauma, you're in a state of hyper suggestibility, which is a trance state, okay? It's just a natural human phenomenon, right? Drive by a traffic accident, for example. and you see somebody laying there, look at their countenance. Their eyes are fixated, so they're not looking around like that. They're not moving, so they're cataleptic, it's called. Their body is cataleptic. And so they're in a state of hyperlearning. And literally, if you speak to them in a certain way with authority, you can get the pain to turn down. You could do. They're doing this in England right now, actually. It's remarkable. So what PTSD does is the triggering of that emotional file. So what's with that file? All these beliefs. I'm going to die, you know, all these things that come with that file. Does that make sense? But it happens automatically. So if somebody had a bad experience, or we were talking earlier, at work, at school, or whatever, and it's highly charged or whatever, they probably were negatively affected. And depending on how they what they believed at that time, it could affect their life. But is that post-traumatic? Well, I guess you could say in a light form of it. To me personally, it's I don't think it is, if you want to use that label according to the way the system uses the label.
Very interesting. Who would you say, obviously the military is the one with the biggest label to that. Are there others that could be affected by post-traumatic stress?
Yeah, can I tell you a story?
Yes, please.
A client?
Please.
So I had a client, a friend of hers who I didn't know, found me online, referred her to me, and she came in for the first session. The moment she walked in, she was a wreck. She hadn't even said hi, whatever, whatever. You could see she was just going to let loose. I could barely say, you know, I asked her questions about what happened. What happened was, this was 2 years ago, 2 weeks prior to Thanksgiving that year. She hadn't slept in her house for 2 months. She came home early and she was looking for her husband, couldn't find him anywhere, walked in the garage and he's hanging dead from the rafters. True story. So she walked in, she had to take him down. And I can't remember if she knew CPR or whatever, but anyway, he was dead. Okay. But she took him down and everything. Now, again, that's hugely traumatic. Well, for 2 months, she hadn't slept in her house because she couldn't get herself to sleep there because it triggered that experience. Okay. And what I didn't explain to you about PTSD, what happens is, in essence, a movie is running of a very specific event tied to that movie, that file, in essence, the feelings are a myriad of feelings. Terror, helplessness, you know, it could be anything, okay? So this poor woman, bless her heart, at the end of the session, we met for about an hour and a half. Again, remember, I could barely say anything and she would just lose it, right? So when we were done, I moved her back to the couch from the chair that I have, and I interrupted her. It's called a pattern interrupt because I wanted to catch her off guard and say, by the way, I said, I forgot to ask you, what exactly happened again? Because I kind of want to try to remember. What I was trying to do is to provoke her to feel that way again, to test. And she started looking at me like this and talking and she told me what happened. I said, do you realize what you're doing right now? And she goes, what? I said, you're reporting like a reporter. You're not losing it. There's no emotion attached to it. But she had a tear running down. So the real grief and loss and all the serious feelings, for 2 months she never felt. I said, now that's grief. You should be feeling that and you should allow yourself to cry. So post-traumatic could happen in a traumatic way, finding your spouse dead, in a car accident where you virtually almost lost your life and it was sudden. Talking about that, I had a neighbor, I remember a little girl when my kids were little, and that happened to her. She got a dog came running up to her. She was little at the time, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, and it bit her a part of her skin off. I mean, like took a chunk out of it. Well, she was totally traumatized. It would be like, as a vet, let's say, in a war situation, to a little kid, that she was being attacked. And I remember as she got older, that was always an issue. So we could sit here probably and talk about a number of examples, but those are just some examples.
Some of the statistics showed interesting things about post-traumatic stress. One of them, as we explained in an earlier podcast, General Dave Sear was talking about some of the issues that we saw, how the trauma is stored on the reaction side of the brain and the memory is stored on the other side of the brain. And in some of the cases of extreme Alzheimer's or dementia, that when the short-term and the long-term memory is gone completely, the trauma takes front and center. They live out their last days in the trauma.
Oh.
Now, the other thing that we're seeing in some of our statistics is that more than 50% of the veterans that are struggling with post-traumatic stress won't seek help. They won't seek any medical help because they're for fear of being drugged.
So sometimes what do they do? I'm just curious because you and I have had these discussions.
They live with it. Oh. And they break down. Nobody really wants to be labeled on these things. And labeled is an issue that certainly the veterans don't want. They don't want to be called post-traumatic stress disorder people. So many of the professionals and many of the veterans that we talk to, at least on a clinical level from the VA and the people that I've talked to, call it post-traumatic stress and they drop the D for, you know, get rid of the disorder completely. How would you address that?
Okay, you're hitting a hot button for me, and it really is, and I'll tell you why. In my practice, my business, I don't care what labels you were given. When somebody comes into my office, for example, and I'm not exaggerating, if I let them, Rick, they could sit there for an hour selling me on their label and why they have their label. In other words, they're literally trying to convince me why they're so screwed up and why they're taking medication that they hate, by the way. And so after I let them talk for 10 minutes, because I'm there to help them to experience radical change and transformation. So I finally stop them, and I'm not exaggerating here. I'll say, I appreciate what you're saying, but I need to stop you because what you're telling me right now is your conscious rationalization and explanation of why you think you're here. That's not why you're here. I can guarantee your unconscious mind has developed a belief, a strategy that is allowing you to live it out. Now, in post-traumatic, it's a little more obvious. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, these precious vets that feel like they have to live with it because they're seeing it as a label. It's not a label. They're moving, living, they're experiencing life in a very, you could say, maladaptive way, a useless way, a disempowering way, a very inauthentic way. That's all true. But you don't have to put a label to it. So I don't care why they're coming in. Tell me why you're here. What do you want? And so they tell me, I said, great. So that's our intention. That's what we're going to get you there so that you never have to live this way again. Is that what you'd like to have? Oh, yeah. And sometimes, again, I'm not exaggerating. Sometimes I have to convince them and reframe how they see themselves. I think you and I have talked about that before. I did an interview myself for my podcast today. Young guy does what I do in San Diego. Johnny Dupree, actually. Awesome guy, young guy. But anyway, we had a really, really good talk about this very thing, that the first thing we have to overcome is their belief that they can't change. Here's the tragic thing, and this is going to step on some toes, and you got to take it for what it's worth. The system, not just the VA, but I'm talking about the psychological industry, I call it, has framed their experience as virtually hopeless. Not just PTSD, but any supposed disorder. In reality, you know what my belief is? PTSD is a perfect example of God's genius design of their minds. Each and every one of us, and people look at me and go, what are you talking about? What I mean by that is, if they have the ability to create that reality as if it's happening now, that means that same genius mind can go back and rewrite the computer, so to speak, rewrite the programming to create something completely different. I didn't create that. The enemy didn't create that. They created it in this beautiful computer, well, that's far greater than a computer, but in this device we call the mind that programs the brain. Well, if we, nobody else but them, that means in theory, that genius mind out of their awareness using their unconscious mind can create something completely different. You know, again, how do we get there? You and I have talked about this, Rick. I don't know if there's an easy answer, but that's my heart's passion. I just want to help people be set free. Really, that's really is. And they do not, I don't believe they have to live like that.
How do you recognize it? If somebody came in to see you with an issue or something that they were dealing with, how would you recognize it? And I know you just talked about labels, but how do you recognize that it's actually post-traumatic stress? Or how does the layperson that might have a loved one dealing with something recognize that it may be a post-traumatic stress?
The first thing that came to my mind when you said that is my dad, who passed away a few years ago. He was watching the news in the first Gulf War, and he's from the Korean War. And my mom calls my oldest brother, who's an attorney. He's been practicing for years, and he does work with personal injury. Okay, so he actually deals with PTSD because of serious car accidents and so forth. So he has to prove that they have whatever, okay? So my mom calls him up and says, Frank, you got to get over here. So my dad's from the Korean War, and he's watching the news and reports of the first Gulf War and all this, and he's waking up in cold sweats, waking up screaming and right out of a dream, becoming severely agitated for, like, it was incongruent to, like, his life, what's going on. So there's a real incongruency to their life. And if it's severe enough, you'll have sudden shifts. That's obvious. Now, when people come to me, they're usually coming to me for, so by the time I already know they're struggling with something, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, for a spouse or whatever, loved ones generally can tell, they may not know what it is, but they could tell that something has shifted. So like my dad, he was normal, quote unquote, I use that in quotes. And then he's watching the news and all of a sudden he's having flashbacks and cold sweats and screaming out of his dream, in his dreams, and, you know, stuff like that. It's real. So it's not that it's not real. It is in their head, But that's how genius their mind is. I always go back to that because there's a law of the mind, and it's the way God created our minds. It's fascinating. If you could experience something, Rick, behavior, anything, and you were able to create it, that means you have the ability to recreate it, to do it again. And that's what they're demonstrating. They created that, but that doesn't mean they have to live with it. And so those signs are there. It's almost very, very similar to panic attacks, cold sweats, cold hands. And there's other signs like your eyes get fixated sometimes. You'll see them just sit there and they'll become fixated. Their breathing pattern changes. And all of this, if you're not aware of it, you're not knowing what you're looking for. Does that make sense? So like if I'm sitting here with you and you look like you're listening to me, but I notice that you're not nodding your head, your body's not moving, your eyes become fixated, pupils dilate or constrict, eyes getting watery. These are all signs, like I said earlier, of trance. So you could notice those things. But most of it is usually very highly charged emotions. I don't care if it's a car accident, a vet from a war, or anything. It's usually highly emotionally charged.
You had mentioned before about the genius of the mind. And I like that. It's like the computer, learning and unlearning. As I mentioned earlier, the trauma is stored in the reaction side of the brain. Also been told, and again, I'm not a clinician, so I'm talking as a layperson, but we have seen that being stored in the reaction side of the brain helps with that fight or flight mechanism. And so after a period of time, it becomes more and more crisp, rather than the memory becoming either it falls into a perceptive state where perception seems to rule over the actual reality. And the perception then takes the truth and alters it a little bit.
Just to correct something you just said.
Okay.
And it's not really a correction, it's just a clarification. That is the reality right now.
Yes, absolutely.
See, that's why you can't treat it with drugs and stuff, because it's not going to, quote, go away. They've literally, in their genius mind, created a new reality. And I say new, you know, figuratively, a new reality. And to them, it is new. It is real. And they're living that movie reel. And that's what I didn't get to. I love the fact that you shared that with me, because I didn't know about the brain act, how the actual brain responds. I just know with precision how the mind works and how it influences the brain. And so if you want to simplify it, it's like running a movie in your head with highly charged emotions. And the emotions or feelings is the energy. If you want to think of feelings as energy, that's the best way to look at it. When you, by definition, energy moves, right? So this movie reel that you're running, like this woman that came to me, for example, she had a beginning and she had an end to this movie. All I did was change her movie. And the emotions were gone. She couldn't feel that way anymore. But she was free to grieve. She was free to feel normal emotions. So that's all they're doing. And I know you say, well, that sounds too simple. Well, it's profound, but it is simple. It's how the mind works. I'm not making this up. People far better than me are doing what I'm doing and helping people do this. The problem is, and you and I have talked about this, is that there's a system there. So you change that definition of these precious vets out there that are suffering needlessly. You change and reframe what they're experiencing, all of a sudden how you approach them, what you do with them. And here's the sad thing. If you change, if a vet changes in their mind, their current experience, okay, their suffering and so forth, if they change the understanding, the definition of what they're experiencing, forget the label, but just change the normalcy of what they're experiencing. It's dysfunctional, it's useless, it's horrible, it sucks, whatever you want to call it, that's true. But they created it and it's normal. It's an indication of how normal their mind is running. I hope that makes sense to you. They're not screwed up or broken. Their strategies are. And their mind, this movie that they're playing, they created it. And it was designed by God, I believe, as a protective mechanism, the fight, flight, or freeze. But it's useless now. They just don't know it. Something happens now in 2017 without thought. It happens automatically, which is unconscious behavior. It triggers that response because that movie is playing as if it's real. I'm going to give you an example that has nothing to do with PTSD, but the principles are the same. I'm working with a guy right now. He's coming in this afternoon. He's 67, retired, and he is a 5 handicap. Okay, in golf. He had this anxiety that just came over him when he got on the tee box. And it's illogical, it's irrational, but with precision, every time he gets on that tee box, he has this anxiety, okay? Especially if there's that water hazard. So what I did with him was what I just said to you is what I did with him for his golf game. We established this anchor of feeling of confidence, and I call it the performance zone, basically. So to trigger his unconscious behavior, we practice and practice and practice and just gave him a new normal because he experienced these perfect swings. And then all he has to do is grab the club, and he triggers that feeling. That's exactly what they do. I just gave you the illustration in the positive way. Does that make sense? Okay.
It does.
And that's, I'm trying to simplify it to let the vets out there, if they're suffering from PTSD, they're not screwed up or broken. Matter of fact, their mind is just is functioning with precision. It's just useless now. It doesn't need to protect you anymore.
So the military trains them to focus completely for a survival point, and they feel this pain, and they follow the focus, and they keep zeroed in on that issue.
Not to be too technical, but the guy who coined the word hypnosis in 1842 realized it had nothing to do with natural sleep, and the word he used to describe to other doctors what he was doing was called monoideaism, one thought or one idea. So it's a fixation of thought. You want to experience a trance state, that's all you need to do. And it bypasses that critical part of your mind. You ignite that with imagination and feeling. You have new learning. Bam, right? Like just like that. So by nature, the military is teaching them to get into that focused trance state because, you know, we're going into the front lines. We need to protect you. You want me to be a good soldier. I want you to be a good soldier. That's why.
So in essence, what we're dealing with then is the VA trains them to be soldiers. Everybody blames the military for their problems, but when in fact the military has done the job, they've trained these people up to become soldiers, to survive the days that are ahead, then would you say it's not the VA's issue to turn them back into citizens, it's us as a society to bring them back into the society?
That's actually really a really good point. And that's a whole other issue, too. I know you and I have talked about this. It's because the churches, organizations, businesses are really ignorant about the fact that these guys, some of them and gals coming back, are in survival mode unconsciously. That's the key. And it's not because they're screwed up. It's they're, like you said, they were trained. And so when something may happen at work or at home or church or something, and for these entities to come around these vets with an understanding of what's happening and see it as normal, not abnormal and pathological, that's huge.
And that training actually probably kept them alive.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
But due to time, how would you summarize everything that you just shared with us to give somebody hope?
So if you're a vet listening right now, or you love a vet, or you know somebody that has experienced some sort of trauma or something like that, I want you to hear me very clearly. That person, and if you're a vet, you specifically, are not broken, you're not screwed up, you're not abnormal. Your mind is functioning absolutely to perfection the way God created your mind to function. It's just using it, that perfect ability, in a very useless, disempowering way, like I said earlier. So the strategy you have that was effective, like Rick just said, to keep you alive, is not needed anymore. So the key is, if you know somebody or like if you're at a church or organization or something, or work with them, that person is not broken. They're not screwed up. They're not to be seen as pathological. And by that, I mean they're sick. Something's wrong with them. No, their strategy and their movement, you know, how they're living is not effective, okay? But I think that's huge. If you could start with normal eyes, put on new glasses and start seeing them as just no different. They just have strategies that are kind of screwed up, and there is help and there is hope. Their mind that created it is the mind that can change it.
Anthony can be reached at anthony@wholelifecc. Now that's wholelifecc.com, or you can call him at area code 612-564-9820, or you can go to our website at operationhighground.org, and we'll have Anthony's information posted on there. Again, we opened up this year with the formal introduction of passing the baton, and that's what Larry produced. And since that time, we've seen a lot of people touched. And the big takeaway that we found was that it wasn't just military people, but we're also dealing with post-traumatic issues in families of returning service members. We're also seeing issues of police and firefighters. We're seeing issues with many people that we never expected to respond to this. In fact, we're getting a big response from the veteran community when, in fact, this series was geared towards the civilian side so they could further understand what reintegration was all about and what the service members were dealing with and trying to reintegrate back into society. Again, thank you for listening. OperationHighGround.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
Operation High Ground is a nonprofit organization that needs financial support to continue to grow and serve. If you would like to support us, you can reach us at operationhighground.org or you can email us at info@operationhighground.org. Operation High Ground is committed to the continued support of our veterans and their families. Thank you for your interest and support of this program.